April 26th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, podcast number two. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home. I am joined by my extraordinary producer, the mighty Max Martinson from the WAUK studios in Radio Park on Victory Drive. And together we're acting locally, thinking globally. And to start, it's been a week to remember around the world. We started with the passing of Pope Francis on Easter Monday. Yesterday, the FBI in Milwaukee arrested County Justice Hannah Dugan for obstructing an immigration arrest operation. I encourage all listeners to check out ongoing coverage on civic media programs, radio programs, especially the Maggie Dawn Show that runs from 4 to 6 Monday through Friday. Maggie is a former or is a longtime friend and colleague of Judge Dugan's, and she gave a very heartfelt, tribute and show of support, and very emotional. And I encourage anybody to check out that stream or that recording from yesterday's show. But anyway, and then on Thursday, the people of Ireland and many Irish Americans celebrated the 109th anniversary of the 1916 Easter Rising that ultimately led to the independence for most of Ireland some 7 years later, and raises the question, will there be another terrible beauty born on this side of the pond? And then yesterday, most of you don't know, this was Parental Alienation Awareness Day, and it was a global observance, but very few observances, I believe, took place in the United States. But the issue of parental alienation, or as our my guest on this podcast would more accurately describe as targeting, is a very real crisis in the U.S. And to tell us more about it, it's my honor to have my good friend, Kay Johnson, an ADA certified advocate and founder executive director, I hope I got that right, of the National Alliance for Targeted Parents, advocating for, I believe the number was 22 million American parents that are victims of targeting. Do I have that right, Kay?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you again for joining us. And to start, tell us, for those that are new to this topic, what is targeting? And only if you're willing, if you're able to share your own experiences as someone that was victimized by targeting.
Well, the targeted parent or being targeted in a relationship is you can't really talk about that without talking about parent alienation. But they're one of the parents. The targeted parent is the parent whose relationship with their child is being negatively influenced by the other parent, and that interaction, that abnormal interaction where one parent is trying to actually turn the child against the other parent, is called parent alienation. The parent who is actively trying to turn the child against the other parent is called the alienator in all of the research. And then the research shows that the other person, the person who is being targeted, the parent who is being targeted, is called the targeted parent, and that's pretty much in the in all of the research. That's the language that's used, is the alienator is one who's trying to brainwash the children into thinking or feeling or rejecting the other parent. And that's another word for targeting parent. Targeted parent is also the rejected parent. It just depends on who is doing what. You know, if it's the alienator who is doing all of these behaviors, bad mouthing and holding, interfering with placement and trying to manipulate and exploit the child to actually turn against the other parent, and they do that because they really are angry and they want revenge, and so they just, whether, you know, it certainly appears intentional to me. Mm-hmm. I'm a targeted parent. I went through years in family court, and that's where this shows up, is in family court. This is where all the language is, where they're trying to address parent alienation and address what happens with the targeted parent.
And you're living proof that it isn't just the fathers that are targeted by custodial mothers, that it can happen to the mothers too, from fathers that have a malicious agenda.
Yes, absolutely. And it is about 50-50 in terms of if it's a mother or the father doing the alienating.
Okay.
So yeah, you do.
So it isn't unique to one gender, if you will.
Right. No. It tends to be a little more malicious. I mean, there really is something wrong with abnormal about the alienator. There's something wrong with their personality, because that is the only way a parent could actually, because alienating the children hurts the children.
They're the ultimate victims.
They're the ultimate victims. And anybody that can do that to their own children, there is something wrong with the alienator.
Sure.
There's some personality quirk. They lack empathy is the biggest problem. And that they don't understand that they're hurting their own kids. Or they do understand, but they don't care.
Sure. And is there data on children affected by targeting or parental alienation in terms of mental health issues, is that difficult to prove?
There's a lot of research about child emotional or mental abuse. There's just incredible research about the problem, what happens when it's just psychological abuse, which is what parent alienation usually is. It usually doesn't include physical abuse or sexual abuse, but child psychological abuse is as bad or worse than for the children than, and it's something that it's the most profound, it's the most prolific type of abuse. It happens all the time, and it's the bad mouthing, it's the saying your mother doesn't love you, it's saying, you know, she doesn't care about you, or that kind of thing that really is disturbing for children and shows that they become traumatized. And the longer this type of thing goes on, the worse it gets. But it can ultimately, if it's not resolved, it ultimately leads to what we call adverse childhood experiences, and therefore, you know, parent alienation being a severe type of psychological abuse causes increased suicide, it causes increased drug and alcohol abuse in kids. I mean, because they're so vulnerable.
They're
children, and most of the children that go through this are between 9 and 14. I mean, there's a lot of cases where a parent will try to turn kids against the other parent when they're younger, but it doesn't work. The kids are not at a place where they can understand the manipulation or be fearful of it. But in that adolescent period where children are so vulnerable because they're going through an entire new brain boot and they got hormones, and all of a sudden they become extremely vulnerable and manipulative or manipulated to turn against the parent.
Wow. And for the targeted or victim or the alienated parents, they also have, many of them will suffer from certain mental health challenges, correct?
Yeah. In fact, this is my biggest, what I advocate a lot about, is that most targeted parents, I mean, you can't go through this. This is so egregious. Yeah. You absolutely can't go, the amount of stress that is put on you when you're going through this and you're losing your children and there isn't anything you can do to protect them, the stress becomes so high that that often they develop PTSD. Targeted parents develop PTSD. And I don't call it PTSD. I call it PT, what do I call it? It's And it's not, I mean, it's kind of a PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
But there's nothing, but it's really a not a good language to use because it's not post. There's nothing post about it. You're being targeted all the time on something. The accusations.
So it's more active traumatic stress disorder would be maybe a more accurate term we could use.
It's a stress injury.
Stress injury, yeah.
From the other parent.
Sure.
Doing all of these things to you and your child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a stress injury. And I make that point because if you can go into court and you can show that one parent has PTSD or what we call this is a brain stress injury. And where did that come from?
Right, right.
It did not fall from the sky.
Yeah.
You know, it's not anything internal. It's not a disorder.
Right.
But if you come in and you say, well, I've got PTSD, they all go, oh, you got a mental disorder. You got a problem. Yeah. You're a good parent. You know, you're not a good parent.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword if you look at it as a disorder. But
that makes
a lot of difference.
Yeah. And that explains why you are an ADA certified advocate when you're advocating for these parents in court, correct?
Right, right. PTSD is considered a disability by the ADA, and so therefore they're entitled to accommodations.
Okay. Now, I remember in my research on the topic, I learned of a gentleman named Ryan Thomas, and I believe his website's Ryan Thomas Speaks, who was a child who was alienated from his father, and then was able to reunite with him and have a, you know, develop a healthy relationship, but he's offered, I guess, programs for parents and perhaps for children. Do you have any relationship with him? Are you familiar with Ryan Thomas at all?
Oh, sure. He's been around for as long as I have.
Okay.
And that's a fairly long time. So,
right.
And there are more, there are increasing numbers of alienated children that have come to realize what was going on and that they were manipulated. And so they have reunited with their parents. And people like Ryan Thomas, you know, he helps parents try to communicate with their alienated kids because you have to remain you have to maintain some kind of contact.
Right.
Even if it's sending a text once in a while saying, I'm thinking of you or whatever, you just never let it go. You never give.
Yep.
And so I think that's one of the things that he helps, you know, and he helps parents cope with trauma.
Yeah. And I've listened to some of his, I guess, tapes or seminars. I forget how you put it, but recordings. And it was refreshing for parents to hear that your child loves you no matter what is being communicated to you from that child or from the other parent. Your child loves you. And I think that's got to be reassuring. Now, Ryan Thomas is just really one person I'm familiar with in the United States. I know there's some stronger movements in Canada. But then of course around the world where, you know, we were discussing this earlier, where there's actually some legislation in the books or even some stronger legislative developments in terms of addressing, alienation or targeting as an offense, a breaking of the law, if you will. I don't know if it's criminal. I think we haven't found anything in terms of criminal, as you mentioned, but it's in the books and there's a lot more maybe pressure. And, you know, how come the U.S. is maybe lagging behind or what, you know, what is the status of the movement in the United States in terms of creating awareness and creating some legislative or legal action?
Well, you know, it starts with Thursday, Parent Alienation Awareness Day. I mean, we got to start somewhere and try and podcasts like this help immensely. Mm. Most of the movement is in the states because there are 17 states that in the United States that do recognize Parent Alienation Day as a proclamation. But there are, you know, many others that don't.
Does Wisconsin?
No.
Okay.
And there doesn't seem to be too much active movement here in Wisconsin to try to do that. So
sure. I know someone well that's involved in family law in one of the counties here, either Milwaukee or Waukesha, I forget. And his response on the topic was that it's difficult to prove. What's your take on that?
Well, yeah, I want to step back to and mention you asked about why we're lagging behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to answer that question, because I think it's really significant that there is a contingent of domestic violence advocates, supporters, that believe that parent alienation is a hoax. And this has been going on since its inception, since the day after it was first published anywhere. And they believe that parent alienation is, well, one, they believe it's junk science. And all of their publications, and they get a lot of money from the government. It's with a lot of the women's organizations get money to study this and that, but they say it's junk science because a lot of this research is social science research, and they, you know, they don't buy that. They don't think it's empirically based. It is. It's very, very good research. And then, you know, they believe that parent alienation is a tactic that abusers use to get custody.
And can the same be said, Kay, for abusive parents that have lost certain parental rights or privileges legally, that they may play this parental alienation card? Has that happened much or not?
I've never seen that.
It's more the abusers that use it as a card to create even more distance or to further alienate the targeted parent.
Exactly. But for those of us who are targeted, it's just like, and for those of us who've been through parent alienation, it is real, and it's very difficult to you can't deny it. You just can't deny that this is a real event that happens, and it is so traumatic for both the parent and the child that it's just egregious.
Yeah. So Kay, in the 2.5 minutes we have left, like what do you want listeners to know about targeting or parental alienation? And what can they do about it as citizens, or even maybe parents themselves that may be enduring this and never really identified it as a thing?
Yeah. When people first find out that it's parent alienation, they're relieved. It's like, oh my gosh, there's a name to it. Yeah, there's a name, and there really is an entire movement that's focused just on what's happening to targeted parents. And that is very, very important, because you feel like you're so alone when you're going through it. It's like, there isn't anybody else that's ever been through this. It's so horrible. Nobody understands me. And there's a lot of reasons that it does make it. It's a difficult subject to communicate about. But quite honestly, it's very, very simple. It's a very simple idea. But I would say that for your listeners, if you know anybody that's going through what they call a high conflict divorce, where the children are in the middle, know that, if you've got a friend that is experiencing a lot of aggression from going through a divorce and a lot of aggression, and the children are kind of in the middle, that these people really need your support. Yeah. They need you to listen. We talk a lot because we're so traumatized.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a little much.
Sure. So
just to care and to be there for them so that they don't feel like they're alone.
Yeah. Kay Johnson, ADA certified advocate, founder, executive director of the National Alliance for Targeted Parents. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Thank you for your gift of time and expertise this morning. And the conversation doesn't end here. We'd love to have you on very soon for more and talk about the latest developments and further the education. as Kay knows, this is a subject very near and dear to my heart, and I've never mentioned this before, but I myself have been victimized by targeting or parental alienation. And again, I think it's I don't wish this on anybody. And I think it's something that needs more attention legally, legislatively, and in our local communities that we've got to, because the children are the ultimate victims. And so, Kay, thanks again. Have a great rest of the weekend. I want to thank everybody for listening on this very important topic. Please enjoy the rest of your weekend. Remember that safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Thanks again. Go Ramil Mahagov and see ya.